Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. When words like authoritarian and propaganda come up, usually one wouldn't jump straight to the thought of tweets. But regardless of where one falls in the political spectrum, it can be agreed that our current president, Donald Trump, uses the Twitter platform to communicate directly with the American public in an unprecedented way. But are his tweets on par with historical examples of authoritarian rhetoric? And when does it become propaganda? Our next guest has been digging into the history books and the president's Twitter feed to look for comparisons, which we'll explore today so that you can draw your own conclusions. Ron Feimster is a professor of journalism at Florida Southwestern State College. He'll be presenting a lecture called President Trump's Twitter Feed, The Rhetoric of Authoritarian Propaganda, next Wednesday on November 7th at the college's Fort Myers campus. Ron Feimster, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to weigh in on our conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So where'd this idea come from? How'd you get an idea for a lecture with research that you've done?
It actually started out at the Holocaust week that we have at FSW every spring. In the spring of 17, I was asked to if I had an idea for a lecture that I could give, and I said, well, why don't I talk about the press under authoritarian rule? Because one of the characteristics of authoritarian rule – excuse me – during the Holocaust was that the government completely controlled the press. Now, obviously, the government does not control the press in the United States, but the idea came from – my research into the radio, the use of radio during the Nazi regime, and as I've dug into this, I've found that there are very, very strong comparisons between the way President Trump uses Twitter and the way the Nazi regime used radio. And so, I just have to say it kind of surprised me too.
It's not really comparing the actual rhetoric, the words. Is it comparing more the method of getting the message across?
Well, there's both. I think that there's a very, very strong anti-factual character to President Trump's tweets. I think that he says a lot of things without evidence, and that a lot of this is meant to alarm people who are fearful, or some of his base, which has some, we could say prejudice against immigrants, Muslims. He has quite famously tweeted that the caravan that's walking across Mexico is full of unknown Middle Easterners, and there's really not any evidence for that at all as far as we can tell. And
well, today at 11 a.m., he tweeted, and I'm quoting, "Many gang members and some very bad people are mixed into the caravan heading to our southern border. Please go back. You will not be admitted into the United States unless you go through the legal process. This is an invasion of our country, and our military is waiting for you." That was today at 11 o'clock this morning. Mm-hmm. And making the allegation that there are gang members and very bad people mixed into that caravan.
This has been a consistent message of his from the moment that he began to run for president in 2015, when he said, you know, quite famously that Mexico does not send its best people here. It sends murderers and rapists, and there was a longer list than that. I don't remember them all. But he has been attempting to talk about the people who are coming to the southern border as criminals from the very beginning. And it is, of course, the law in the United States that you may arrive at this border illegally and turn yourself in and ask for asylum. That's international law at borders in general. And, you know, his approach is go back. The military is going to stop you. And this is not actually what the law of the land says.
So dissecting this tweet then, it says, unless you go through the legal process, which is what they would be doing if they showed up at the doorstep.
Yes, and I think his shorthand for legal process is you should go to the U.S. consulate in your country and apply to be an immigrant. Mm-hmm. But there's various ways to come to this country, and he tends to conflate entering all things besides entering as a legal immigrant with criminal entry.
in seeking refugee status is different from that.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, the first time that you arrive at this country's border and you are turned back, you are guilty of a misdemeanor if you are convicted. And he is, you know, imprisoning people essentially for crossing the border the first time. And one could, and, you know, quite a few immigration lawyers are asking whether this is in fact legal. And you know, and then you get into all of these other things. But I think the main thing about this is not so much – it is not only what he says. It's the fact that he is choosing a channel that allows him to speak directly to the people without having to be mediated by the media. And there are two parts to that. One is he wants to discredit the media. Also this morning he tweeted, "There is great anger in our country, caused in part by inaccurate and even fraudulent reporting of the news. The fake news media, the true enemy of the people, must stop the open and obvious hostility and report the news accurately and fairly. That will do much to put out the flame." So he wants to, in the same way that...
Well, that tweet ends with capitalized words, "fake news must end," exclamation point.
Right. Okay.
Just to put a finer point on that.
Okay. Yeah. I may have.
It was a two-tweeter. It went a little
okay.
too long.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
It ended up being a thread. But these things come out and they're coming at us time and again. Mm-hmm. But as far as a direct medium in, with which to communicate things to the public, is there any kind of a historical precedent for that we can think of? I mean, and I'm thinking back here in the United States with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's fireside chats. Would that be comparable at all? I mean, he didn't say the same things, but...
Well, there are pictures of Roosevelt, and when I give the lecture, I will put a picture of him up on the PowerPoint presentation, a picture of him up on the screen, and you can see him addressing the nation with microphones in front of him, and the microphones say NBC and Blue and all of the various networks from back then. What Hitler did was he actually commissioned a radio, which he called the Volksempfänger. Empfänger means like receiver, radio receiver, and Volks is like in Volkswagen. And this radio was built for the express purpose of allowing Hitler to talk to people in their homes without having to go through a newspaper. He also controlled the newspapers. The Angriff, which was the evening paper in Berlin, was published by Joseph Goebbels, his propaganda minister. And there was a paper in Munich that he essentially controlled as well. But the point is that the radio was built and it was named, you know, VE-31301, and that was an allusion to the fact that he rose to power on January 30th, 1933, and he named his radio after the day that he became chancellor. So it was explicitly built to talk directly to people. And Twitter is just a great media for not having to go through the news media.
Or any kind of fact-checking.
Of course. It puts the fact-checking in our laps. There's no gatekeeper. We have to decide whether it's true or not.
You know, we're about to run out of time, but I really want to continue this conversation. So I think once we run out of time for the broadcast part of this show, I'd like to continue this conversation. I'd like to invite any listeners that want to hear a continuation of this conversation to check out gulfcoastlive.org, where we will post this once we get done chatting, because there's a lot more to go into as far as history is concerned. But for now, I want to thank Ron Feimster. That's about all the time we have for the on-air portion of the show. He's going to be presenting a lecture called President Trump's Twitter Feed, The Rhetoric of Authoritarian Propaganda, next Wednesday, November 7th at the college's Fort Myers campus. I also want to thank my earlier guest, 82-year-old Holocaust survivor Cesar Frustaci, who will be the guest speaker at the Catholic-Jewish Dialogue of Collier County's 80th Annual Kristallnacht Commemoration event. That's coming up this Sunday afternoon at Temple Shalom on Pine Ridge Road in Naples. And of course, you can also catch that entire conversation online at gulfcoastlive.org. So if you would like to hear more of my conversation with Ram Feenster, definitely get online. Our show today was produced by Mike Kanairi and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.